In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Holding up one finger here. Do you ever see the movie City Slickers? There's that scene, a memorable scene. This cowboy, his name's Curly, and he's a very wise man, and he's quiet. He doesn't say much. He's older, and everybody's afraid of him because they don't know what he's all about. And they finally get to talk to him, and he tells the younger city slicker this. He says, "This is the secret to life." He's holding up one finger. This. "It's one thing," he says. "Do one thing and do it well. And that's it." So we might apply similar principles to our Christian faith today, only it's not a secret. One important thing, one needful thing, we might say, as Jesus says it in the Gospels. There's one needful thing. You know, if you think about being a Christian, being Orthodox especially, there's a lot to it. And sometimes it can be overwhelming. Sometimes it can seem complicated. I'm sure if somebody's learning about the faith, they might feel overwhelmed. You know, there's feasting, there's fasting, there's lives of saints, there's services, there's all that history, how to make the sign of the cross, where to stand, how many prostrations, all kinds of things. But when it comes down to it, beloved, there's one needful thing, and today is the day. Today on Meat Fair Sunday, the Sunday of the Judgment, we hear what the one needful thing is, and we get it in the gospel today. What is the one needful thing? It's to love God. Love God. Honor Him, obey Him, serve Him, and worship Him through Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit. It's that one thing, the most important thing for us to do. So what does that mean? Love God, honor Him, worship Him in this way. Does it mean go to church? Absolutely. Can you think of a more perfect expression of worshiping God through Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit? Something more perfect, more complete than the Eucharist? I can't. That's certainly what it means. But it goes beyond that, right? Because we just don't come to church and pray and worship God and then walk out the doors and then pretend He doesn't exist. We take on a mission when we leave these doors. And that is what the gospel today addresses. I was at, last Sunday, and there were some people from St. George there. I was at a dialogue, an interfaith dialogue, and Children of Abraham, and the topic was the end of the world and heaven, paradise, heaven, and the world to come, something like that. So when I made my presentation, I was very excited. I called upon this gospel today, and I said, first of all, we believe in an end. I had to express that. We believe in an end of the world, an end of this world, number one. Number two, we believe in a judgment, that God will make a distinction, just as we heard in the gospel today, and that three, we believe that the distinction is based on the criteria you heard in the gospel. It's how you treat the least of the brethren. How you respond, how you interact with the least significant person on earth. And Jesus names them, you know, hungry, poor, thirsty, naked, in prison, sick, stranger. How you respond is the criteria of that gospel story. And we know that it's a judgment, right? It's salvation or condemnation. So I made this presentation, and afterward, it evoked a question. And the gentleman asked, and I'm glad he asked this question. He said, "You know, I was raised a Christian, and I was brought up and taught that salvation is by grace, that Jesus Christ died for me. Are you telling me that Orthodox believe that by doing these things, They will be saved. And I thanked him for bringing it up, because I don't want people to get that impression. And I don't want anybody in our church to think that that's the teaching either. By no means. God loves us, and God loves us first. And Jesus died for us not because we did anything. We're not saved because we feed the hungry or clothe the poor or did anything that made us righteous. God loves us first, and Jesus died for us while we were dead in sins and unrighteous. So that is gift. It's a free gift. It's grace. The gentleman was absolutely right, and we preach that gospel of grace. That's it. So Jesus died for me. He saved me. What are you going to do about it? That's the question that comes next. You know, are you going to ignore it? Are you going to neglect it? Are you going to reject it? Or are you going to love God back? Are you going to love God in return? And beloved, the only way we know to do this is by loving another person. Specifically, as the gospel says today, the least significant, the least important person in the world. The degree to which you love that person proves or shows or manifests that you love God. Because this is what he calls us to do. Anybody who says, "I love God," and hates his neighbor is a liar. Read St. John's epistle. He says it in black and white. You can't love God and hate another person. Inasmuch as you did it to the least, you did it to me, Jesus says in the gospel today. That's the most important thing to keep in mind. That's the one needful thing. I love today's readings because the epistle too teaches us to focus on that same thing. Now, as we're 1 week away from Great Lent, we're about to enter into a fasting period, and we know how Orthodox are about fasting. We've got rules. We've got guidelines, right? We have restrictions. Just look at your calendar. It's loaded with them. No wine, no oil, no cheese, certain days, right? So here we hear the epistle today, and St. Paul says, food will not commend you to God. If you don't eat, you're no better off. And if you do eat, you're no worse off. So you hear those words, and you say, wait a minute, you know, what is fasting all about? Well, the church gives us fasting to help us grow into the image of God, to not rely on food so much, right? We don't ever want to get the wrong idea that fasting is somehow going to save us in and of itself. You know, if we've got willpower, if we have the strength to go 40 days without eating meat, that's somehow a credit to us and earns us our salvation. Absolutely not. And what St. Paul says in the gospel, in the epistle today, is the most important thing is how you regard another person. See, that's what God's always interested in. How we look at, how we regard, how we treat a person who is weaker. You know, if my fasting scandalizes another person, or my lack of fasting causes another person to stumble who might be weak in their faith and doesn't have the willpower that I have, I shouldn't do it, right? So what do we do with this? Always be mindful of how you treat other people. If you judge another person or condemn another person in your heart, you know, I always hear, and we struggle with this every year during Christmas Lent and during Great Lent, about, we go to parties or we're invited to dinner and we have to find things to eat because we want to keep the fast, you know. Then it becomes kind of a game of getting away with this and trying this and ordering something off a special menu. Well, that might work, but another option, another idea is, you know, to avoid parties and situations where you're going to have to break the fast if you feel it's important. You know, avoid going to parties and avoid dinner invitations and dinner parties, things like that. Because once you sit down at table with somebody, you agree to have fellowship and have that real connection of eating a meal together, you're not going to start having separate plates and separate menus. You know, then you're divided. So it really doesn't make sense, does it? Always the concern is the weaker person, the person who has a weaker faith or who is poor or in an inferior position. Always the concern is to take care of that person above all things in the epistle and in the gospel today. So as we think of the gospel, this call to show we love God by reaching out to the poor and the needy, we're very blessed today on Meat Fair Sunday. Our church is having a dinner following the dismissal, and it's important that you come to the dinner. I want to say this today now while the Sunday school are here and while the teachers and everybody's here in the church. It's important that we support the dinner today. Number one, it gives us an opportunity to have Christian fellowship with one another, to share a meal and be together. Number two, your support of this dinner is going to make progress toward feeding hungry people by funding a ministry that St. George has been involved with for the fifth year now, preparing meals every month at the Mission of Hope here in Cedar Rapids, where people line up every day to get a meal because they can't get one otherwise. So whatever you spend today for your meal will fund that ministry. And I say we're blessed because we have this opportunity, and there are people in our parish that are very kind, and they help by giving donations. So the good news is that program may be funded with money. What I want to call your attention to today and encourage you, even challenge you, is we need some human element in it. We want people to get involved in other ways other than money. Giving the money is great, and there's a great value to it. We appreciate it. But if you ever considered going somewhere where you're face to face with a person who doesn't have a home, hasn't taken a bath, doesn't have a job, can't get a meal, it's not the most pleasant thing in the world. But when you engage them face to face like that, you're really rising to that call that Christ gives us today, to do unto the least. I heard comments from the director of that program at the Mission of Hope, who told me, "We love it when your church makes the meal." You know, why? The food is good. Well, that was probably a given. The food was going to be good. But more than that, he told me that they go around to the tables and they pour coffee for the people and they talk to them. It's not just spooning out heaps of food through a line. It's treating a person really down on their luck, treating a person who's kind of an outcast like a guest in your own home. You know, talking to them, engaging them, feeding them, welcoming them as if this were your own table. That's what we're called to do, beloved in Christ. That's what I want to encourage you and challenge you to engage in if you're not already. Because when we do it to the least, when we visit the poor, when we feed the hungry, when we clothe the naked, we do it to Jesus himself. I started out by talking about going to church and how important that was. That's the way we love God, right? Proper response to God loving us is to love him back. And that's what the gospel today shows us. You love God, you do this. And Jesus says these things in the gospel today, not just because it's something to say. He says it because he himself is the poor. You know, we believe this. Our faith professes this very emphatically. He became naked. He became thirsty. He became homeless. He became beaten, in jail, imprisoned, all of that. That's what we believe, partook in. Because to be human in this fallen world means those things. It means to be broken and to be down. And Jesus took it all on for us and for our salvation. So when he says, if you do it to the least, you do it to me, it's true. And on the flip side, if you neglect it, or if you shun people, or hate people, or treat them badly, or abuse them, or objectify them, you do it to him as well. So bear this in mind, beloved, as we approach Great Lent. May our fasting, may our prayers, may our charity be pleasing to God, and may we do it because we love him, and we want to honor, obey, and worship him through Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.